This is Messenger Insight, a podcast program brought to you by Oklahoma Baptist and the Baptist Messenger.
Welcome to this edition of the Insight Podcast. I'm Brian Hobbs, your host, and really thrilled to be joined with Pastor Darren Spoo of First Baptist Church of Tulsa. Welcome to the podcast.
Brian, thanks so much for letting me be on your podcast today.
Absolutely. Well, we've got really important events happening in Tulsa as the Tulsa Race Massacre Centennial is unfolding this spring and leading into May 31st and June 1st. And some Baptist Messenger readers might be familiar with some ways your church, First Baptist Tulsa, has been part of that. Could you tell us what God's been doing lately in regard to that?
Sure. Of course, where the race massacre took place, I mean, I could literally look north from our church five blocks and you would be in the middle of where this event happened 100 years ago. And so beginning about this time last year, I started to see this on the horizon. We didn't have any plans as a church as to what we were going to do with the centennial of the race massacre. So I thought the best thing for me to do was just come up to speed as quickly as possible. You know, now that it was on my radar screen, I needed to learn some things because even though I've lived in Tulsa for 20 years, I've heard it mentioned. You know, I've heard the race massacre mentioned before, but really it's just by bits and pieces. I told you shortly before this interview, if there's one resource I would recommend people read, if you really want to dig in and know what happened, the best information from a reporter standpoint, Randy Kreibel, who writes for the Tulsa World, he's written a wonderful book called Tulsa 1921, Reporting a Massacre. And he actually goes back to the archive and he pieces everything together, according to the newspaper articles of that day and what was reported around the country. You know, and he addresses all sorts of things. You know, probably the most volatile issue is the number of those who were killed, and there's still a look for finding bodies. You know, he addresses that, but he doesn't try to draw any conclusions. He says, here's where the facts will lead you to. And so I really appreciated his reporter's eye on all of that event. So using that book, what I discovered is our church 100 years ago opened up a room for the wounded and the refugees, as did many downtown churches, First Presbyterian, First United Methodist, Boston Avenue Church. As refugees fled from the north into downtown, churches opened their doors as they should have. And so First Baptist Tulsa 100 years ago opened a room for the wounded. And the thought kind of occurred to our leadership that if we opened a room for the wounded 100 years ago, why don't we do something similar today? Why don't we open a room for healing? And whereas what we don't necessarily need the physical healing from that anymore, what we do need is the spiritual healing that only God can bring, those wounds of racism that are still very deep in our culture today.
That's so powerful. And I think you're not alone. And a lot of people are, they knew bits and pieces, but they're learning more and our heart just breaks. And really something that's come out as I read articles is there was not a full reckoning of the tragedy. And indeed, some of the reactions of the time even had added to the hurt. As you established this prayer ministry, what were some focal points and how did you piece that all together so it takes the person experiencing it through what happened and how they can pray and help?
Yeah. So, and first of all, I need to say I've got a wonderful creative team. I'm a pastor, not a museum designer. So I have some wonderfully gifted people. But we said, what is the average person coming in, black or white? What do they need to know? And so there's six stations in this prayer room. The first is just, or really the first two are just education. What exactly happened? Let's give the raw information. 35 square blocks were destroyed. And that is a tragedy. This is a man-made disaster, you know. And so it was making sure you could just come up to speed with that. But the next four stations all have to do with prayer. The first station is, the first prayer station, which would be the third station, is praying against racism in our culture. There were some newspaper editorials afterwards that used words that we do not use today and should never use again, pretty much blaming North Tulsa for what happened. And Jesus said, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so, you know, we see some things in print at that station. And that kind of racism is still very alive and well in our culture today. So we have a chance to pray against racism. the sin of racism in our culture. The next station is praying against the sin of racism in the church. And as a matter of public record, we have what many pastors said the Sunday after the race massacre, and it is not good. I wish I could give you a word of hope there. I will say for First Tulsa, there's a mysterious gap in our church archive right around that time. We have no records whatsoever that the race massacre ever took place, nor is it recorded what the pastor said at that time. I think we have a pretty good idea, though. I don't think it can be any different than what was said in other churches. So this next prayer station where we pray against the sin of racism in the church, it has what those pastors said following the race massacre. And again, it's putting blame in the wrong places. My favorite station is the third prayer station. Maurice Willows was the Red Cross representative who came in with the Red Cross and stayed here for six months. And Maurice Willows probably saved more lives than any other individual in this. And I don't know if he was a follower of Jesus or not, but you look at what he wrote and what he did, and I've got to think that he had a relationship with the Lord. That's not a matter of record that I can find anywhere. But by the time he left 6 months later, he had built trust with the white community, and he had the respect of the Black community. And so much so that when he left, they renamed the new hospital in North Tulsa after Maurice Willows. The Black people named their hospital after him. So if everyone had that kind of spirit of Maurice Willows, there never would have been a race massacre. And so that wall gives us an opportunity just to say, look, I can look at the culture and I can look at the church, but what about my own heart? What is the racism I have to deal with here? So really the prayer room is just drawing concentric circles where you're the bullseye. So we can talk about culture, we can talk about the church, but really the only heart I can change with Christ's help is my own. And so that's my hope, that people stop looking at the problems in the world. Well, we put the problems in the world in perspective. We see that the line that separates good and evil, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, does not run through political parties, does not run through nations. The line separating good and evil runs through every human heart.
That's well said. I'm so glad. And this prayer room opened, I believe, in February, and it'll continue. And you have some folks even now daily. Could you talk about how it's going and what you're sort of hearing?
Yeah. And it was a pleasant surprise from the calendar. From February 1st to June 1st was 121 days. And 21, of course, is a big number. And so I asked members of our church that every day, 5 days a week, and then we have community groups visiting on the weekends. I'm sorry, 6 days a week. And then on Saturdays, we have a different community group that adopts that Saturday. That every day, somebody from our church would be in that room. And it is open to the public. We've had other groups come through and walk through, and that is, it is open for the public to use. But I'm asking our church to make this a matter of prayer. And so far, every day, with the exception of a few icy days when our church had to be closed, we've had somebody in there. And I'm keeping the church updated every week, every Sunday. In fact, this is the first Sunday that I'll have to say, hey, we've got an opening on Friday, if somebody would take the room on Friday. So it's not been a real struggle to get people to go in. There's been a little bit of pushback to something like this. You know, whenever you're talking about the race massacre, it is a polarizing issue, even with what you call it. But for me, this is not about politics. It's not about any person's political stance. What does Jesus say? Pray. And I think it is a simple thing that we should be able to ask other followers of Jesus to do, and that is pray. And the church has responded overwhelmingly positive to that.
That's outstanding. Well, we're so thankful. And in the Baptist Messenger in the March 11th issue, we'll have additional coverage about this and even some photos. And we're thankful y'all shared that. Emerson Falls, who's a Native American leader in Oklahoma Baptist, talked about, of course, we have racial issues that we're all becoming increasingly aware of, but we also have relational issues. As you've gone about this centennial, what are some new friendships that have emerged or strengthened that they've added to your life and enriched what God is teaching you, but also have shown you some new things?
Well, I'm very grateful to have a personal friendship with Philip Armstrong. He is the leader of the Centennial Commission. And, you know, he and I have known each other for over 15 years. So it was good having that relationship already going into this. You know, we've traveled on mission trips together. So we have that relationship of trust that's been helpful. Eric Costanzo, who's pastor at South Tulsa Baptist, he and I have done some coordinated efforts together in the Tulsa community to do something like this. But it's been really interesting. The best relationships that I've developed are people who are on either end of the social political spectrum. On one side, we have several Black members in our church, and I offered, because of some of the content of the room, I offered to give a tour. Sent an email to all of our Black members, say, if you want a tour before it opens, I'll take you through myself. And one lady in our church and her grandson walked through with me. And even though I was central to helping design this room, when I saw it through her eyes, I was seeing it for the first time. And I really, it was fascinating for me to watch her as she was looking at these images and what was said. And so that was a very special time. You know, sometimes you just have the sense that God's in the room. And that was a sense of that. I also had a church member who was very skeptical of why are we even doing this? And so my first stop with somebody who has a concern is like, before we have a conversation, let's walk in and let's see what's actually there. And so just a few days ago, we walked through the room together, and I asked this individual, I said, what do you think is in this room before we go in? He said, I don't know. So afterwards, we had a great conversation, because now all the preconceptions were gone. He actually saw it. And he said exactly what Emerson Falls, who you mentioned earlier, he said, you know, this is more than just a Black-white issue. We've got racism and so many different stripes around our country. We need the Lord, don't we? And it was good to walk away just with that common understanding. And so it's been interesting. I've seen people on all sides of this issue. Some days I don't even know where I am, where I fall in that spectrum. But if I can just get people to understand a couple things, what I want as a pastor, all people are made in the image of God. And one day all peoples will stand before the throne. Why are we waiting till then to experience that kind of unity? Isn't that something that Christ followers should be experiencing right now? And I think the church ought to be leading the way in reconciliation among the races instead of dragging our feet. Yeah.
Amen. Well said. Thank you for sharing that. And you mentioned several people, including Eric Costanzo, that have been on the podcast. And I believe Phil Armstrong, he'll be making a presentation at an upcoming event we wanted to talk about that you all are hosting. It's a lunchtime event designed for pastors, focused on this theme of unity and around to talk about ways to be involved as the centennial unfolds. And that information can be found on oklahomabaptists.org/1921. We've got to, that should be just a great time, and wanted to be sure to note that. How important do you think it'll be to see pastors come together, and what could God do with that sort of unity and coming together? And what could you talk about that dynamic?
Sure. And I really do appreciate Mark Dance from Oklahoma Baptist helping, being instrument of that. You know, he met with me early on. We're hosting that event, but Mark Dance is the driving force behind this, and he is doing an absolutely wonderful job. You know, I think for pastors to get on the same page is important as we shepherd our people to say, you know, as we talk about an issue like this, it is not a Democrat issue. It is not a Republican issue. This is a human issue. This is, for me, this is tied directly to the great commands. I mean, what does Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's an inner transformation of our relationship with God. But that inner transformation should be matched by an outer transformation that we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And so we can't have one without the other. I think it's in James. It says, don't say you love God, but you hate your brother and sister. And those two transformations need to walk hand in hand together for them to be real. And so I think for pastors, for us to remind one another of that, and then for us to go from that gathering and remind our people that this is not a political issue. Human needs should never be politicized. Anthony Scott, who I know has strong ties with our our state association, Anthony Scott, has reminded me that several times, that we should not politicize human need. Let's meet it as followers of Jesus.
Great word. Great word. So that luncheon is March 29th at First Baptist Tulsa, and it's a noontime luncheon. And you could find information at oklahomabaptist.org/1921. You know, you're part of a historic church there, leading and serving as pastor. And I wondered if you could talk about, let's say you've been there since about the year 2000, Darren.
That's right. 20 years.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And just from that historic church and that spot of ministry, what have been some key things that have blessed your heart through the years and that you'd want Oklahoma Baptist to hear from you on?
Yeah. We are coming up on our 125th anniversary, and I always try to remind myself in the church that if we ever think our best days are in the past, you know, we ought to shut the doors. Our best days should be where we are right now, serving the kingdom of God in this moment. So there's two things I really enjoy about serving this church. One is the longevity of pastors, and I'm fortunate enough to be a recipient of that. I didn't accomplish this. Although I do sometimes say I've served now a 20-year sentence as a church, but I mean that jokingly. Because in the last 90 years, this church has had four pastors in the last 90 years.
Wow.
And so there's a sense of longevity. And I really do believe that the community is formed not out of convenience, but out of conviction. And so when pastors, and hopefully when people come here, it's to come here to stay and to build these lifelong relationships as followers of Jesus as we're on this pilgrimage together. So it's an honor to be a part of that kind of rich heritage. Second thing, though, is what we're doing right now in our community ministries. We've really ramped up the last few years what we do. Since we are an urban church, we have an urban neighborhood around us, which includes many people who are under-resourced, who, you know, lack the basic necessities of food and clothing and need emergency assistance to keep their utilities on. So that's one of the things that's central to our church and in serving those that might be forgotten or overlooked in the name of Christ. And that's, I call our Caring Center, which is our outreach ministry, I call it the heartbeat of our church. And that really has defined who we are. And this is not a place where I want people to come and sit. Come here and serve. And let's serve the community around us.
Awesome. You know, we're still in the middle of the COVID season, or, you know, the effects of everything. And I know as a pastor, you've faced many unexpected decisions and obstacles. What has God used to keep you grounded and fed in his word as you've sought to lead your congregation through difficult times for every church across this whole nation and world?
Yeah. And let me say again, I serve a wonderful church. You know, there's not a lot of drama. We don't do that. And I really do appreciate that. It makes it so much easier to lead. You know what I've said several times, that whatever problems we have in our church that we see now, they were there before COVID. They were there before the pandemic. They were there before this, you know, culture-wide shutdown that we've experienced. But all COVID has done is exposed them and made them more obvious. And so, and it's easy to look at what's happened in the last year as an obstacle, but I see an opportunity because it's almost put our weaknesses under a magnifying glass. And so now we see these issues we can't, you know, ignore anymore and say, what are we going to do about those? And so we're taking some moves as a church, just in my teaching and some things we're rolling out to change the culture of our church, to not be a church that's best days are in the past. But are we really reaching people for Christ? Are we sharing the gospel? Are we being passionate in our worship and effective in our community groups? And so this has been a great opportunity. It's almost so our problems have become so big, we can't ignore them anymore. I really appreciate what Ed Stetzer has said through all of this. He's been a fantastic resource. Christianity is not collapsing, but Christianity is clarifying. That's one of the things that he says. And I think this has been a great opportunity for us to clarify who we serve, what our message is, and where we're going in the future.
Great word. Pastor Darren Spoo, we sure appreciate your time here. Leave us with something to pray about for these upcoming weeks and of the centennial. And we'll close with that. If you could give us just a few prayer points here at the end.
Yeah. You know, one thing I would pray for, and this is for myself, and I think for all leaders and all Christians, we need to remember that we are called to act and not react. You know, there's a difference between a thermometer and a thermostat. A thermometer reacts and a thermostat regulates. And I think as Christians, if we're truly following Jesus, that we should not be easily triggered. We shouldn't react to every crisis or said crisis that comes along. Instead of reacting, we should act. And again, what does Jesus say to do? Love God, love others, love your neighbors, love your enemies. And I think as long as we intentionally act in those directions. And so that's my prayer for me, for Christian leaders, for our community leaders, that we would act instead of react. I know when I react, I very seldom honor God, but it's when I try to ask first, God, what do you want? Typically it turns out a lot better. Yeah.
Outstanding. Well, Pastor, we thank you for joining us in this podcast and for hosting this event that Oklahoma Baptists are part of, and then the prayer room. We just sure appreciate it. Look to the March 11th issue of the Baptist Messenger to find out more. And we pray God's blessings in all of this, Pastor.
Brian, thank you so much, my friend.
God bless. Thanks.
This Messenger Insight has been brought to you by the Cooperative Program and Oklahoma Baptists. Visit us at baptistmessenger.com or your preferred podcast platform. Oklahoma Baptists, advancing the gospel together.